All right, you guys. It is Moving Motivational Monday, and I hope you got your butts up moving, getting it active, getting all your juices flowing, your blood flowing through your veins. I know you hear all this noise in the background. I'm actually getting in my vehicle because I have to go to an interview. Yes, I have to be there for 7:30. I don't know exactly how it's going to go. I'm very optimistic that it's going to go positive and it's going to go in my favor. Yes, honey. I need some goodness. But if I don't, then I know that that's what God has planned for me. And I will try my best not to go in the disappointment if it doesn't go the way I want it to go. And actually, I've done it before. It's deception. So, you know, just part time to get my juices flowing, to get my mind open and all that amazing stuff. Yeah, that's what I'm trying to do anyway. But first off, God is good. He continues to bless me. My family's blessed. And while another day I brought brown is always a blessing. And for coming over to my world and listening to my podcast, She, Me, Her, Your Girl, appreciate you. And I thank you for tuning in. You can also go over to iTunes, Google Play, Spotify, Spreaker, Breaka, and you can subscribe to me, and it will give you all my updates when I upload all that amazing stuff. You can also email me at AnitaLoveToHateToHate@gmail.com. That's AnitaLoveToHateToHate@gmail.com. On my podcast today. Questions that someone sent to me, and there's a lot of questions, so I'm not going to answer all of them, but what I do is I'll try to break them down and try to answer some of them I'm going to do at least 10 this morning. So let's get into this, okay? How old would you be if you didn't know how old you are? Ooh. Probably be 22 again. I probably would. You know, there are some things that I didn't get to do, some things I didn't get to experience. And there are things that 22-year-olds should have known that I didn't know until I was 30. You know? You know that saying when they say treat every day as if it's the first day of the rest of your life or career? If I'm going to be technically honest, at that time I didn't care if it was Monday or it was January 1st. The other 6 days of the week or 364 days of the year worked too. Like that, I didn't think about it that way. When they say time is not money, time is time. Money is money. Lose one and you can earn it back. Lose the other and it's gone forever. Now, does that sound like they're equal? Hell no, they're not equal. So, yeah, those are things that, some of the things, or you'll make a lot of mistakes in your life. You know what I mean? You don't need to think about it. And you're better off making those errors of commission rather than omission. When you look back, you're much sorrier for the things you didn't do, as opposed to those you did. Along those same lines, I don't think it would matter much what choice you make, as much as it would be the conviction in which you make them. So I would have been more committed to everything I do, and I would have took the job I wanted, even if it was a risk, when I was younger. I'm going to be honest. Technically, I don't believe there is any such thing as failure. Right. Now, everybody knows that word itself is in the dictionary, but nobody ain't never noticed it, just like I ain't never noticed that one in my life. Perhaps it's because I don't believe in what it look like or what I look at or however you want to word it. I believe in how I see it. Even though a lot of times I play alone, the embarrassment of failure is a way, it's just easier than the responsibility that comes with success. Now, if you think you can't, then I believe that you won't. If you think you can, I believe you will. And even if you don't succeed, winners still think that they did. And it's not delusional. It's called mastering your psyche. I always feel like you never should be afraid to try new things, and everything that you want is on the other side of fear. And so those are things I didn't learn to weigh after, but I heard those things a lot. So, yeah. My next question. What is worse, failing or never trying? I don't know. For me, let me think about this. Let me think long and hard about this. I definitely never trying is worse than failing, I think. Because if you did not try it, or if you did not try to walk, or you did not try to crawl again and again and again when, you know, during your childhood, and you stopped trying once you fail and you couldn't do it, then you never would have been able to walk. And that's why failing to me is better than never trying. Because if you never try, that means, I don't know, I think, this question hits the core of my personal beliefs, to be honest, and I truly believe that so many people miss out on living and creating that very best life that they want for themselves, or that they even envision. And because of not trying, they never really gave that life a chance of becoming reality for them. And with that, in my opinion, I think failure is unfortunately a required component of living a truly fulfilling, happy, successful, meaningful life. I know that failure is a huge fear for most people, and I will put down my goal to be an Orion and all that, you know, that I wear every day, and I say it, and I know I'm very self-assured, I feel, and I'm confident, but it doesn't matter how self-confident a person are. Because the truth is, failure is indeed a frightening thought to us all. I put things on the line several times, and it was quite amazing. The fear of failure, I think, I don't think it's the same as never trying. I think to never have tried, for me personally, that is life's greatest tragedy. I'll take the potential failure any day of the week of never having had tried it all. You know? Yeah. That's my opinion. I'm sticking to it. Yeah, I think not trying would be worse than failing. You know, if you look around, most people that succeed have often failed at things, and more than people in their lives, and that is because they tried more things and they learn from their mistakes. And you know, while other people are just afraid to even try to do it, so they never accomplish much in their life. So I would say never trying. If life is so short, why do we do so many things that we don't like and like so many things we don't like? Why do we do so many things we don't like? Like so many things we don't do. I know I sound special rereading the question because I'm trying to process it as I read it. Not all the we do things that they don't like. and like things that they don't do. Many of us, quite clear, are brave enough to do things that we like, or at least explore and or start liking the things that we do. Now, those sensible ones do not waste their time auditing someone else's kitty and hints and manage it pretty well and things of that nature. I don't know. I think because all we do in life is not in total control of us, and I think we have to consider the whole picture of it. And I think ignorance for not trying truly being ourselves, but living in denial and contrary to wanting to be what we see because it's easier. I think that would be it. But first, I'm gonna talk about myself. Not about we. Not all the we do things that we don't like and like things that don't do. Many people let me go here. Why do some people engage in things that they don't like? They are sheep disguised as humans who love following the herd without any reason or analysis. These are risks of our souls. And probably until anyone dares them to wreck their brain, anyone dares to muster some courage or move out of the comfort zone, the concept of liking the work, engage, or whatever, or if they come across people successful in doing something that they tag that as the next big thing to be done to be successful, I think that they assume that they can get the same success if they do it, and without even exploring the basics or even caring enough to identify their interests or their own opportunities, I think they rush and get themselves rolled in those herds of other people. What else can I expect apart from disliking? Why do some people like things they don't do or cannot do? There's no tax on liking or loving anything. You don't have to pay taxes on it. And every person can and has the right to like anything and everything and will continue to do so. Until the grass appears to be green on the other side. I mean, it is only living that is taxable, and you will not find many liking that. That's just my opinion. I don't know if that answered the question, but I think because life would be a lot shorter if many of them didn't do many of those things that they didn't like, and I think they wouldn't really like those things if they don't do it or if someone else actually did them. So I don't know. Okay, when is all said and done, when you have said more than you've done? Probably, because I've argued with people and I hate arguing about my opinion of things or my views on things. So probably so. Number 5, what is the one thing you'd most like to change about the world? Ooh. That's a good question. Yeah. There's a few things. What is the one thing you'd like to change about the world? I think if there were one thing I could change about the world, I think it would be probably racism and hatred. I think that would be the one thing that I would change if I could, if I could change. You know, it's one thing. That's the thing. I can't. It would have to be racism and hatred. I think it's normal to want to change things. And I don't trust people who say they have no regrets. Because really, how you don't? None at all. Seriously. Okay. Not the time you talk back to your mom, your grandmother, or you made your sister or your parents cry. Not the time that you lollygagged at work and you got fired. No, I don't believe that. It's impossible to live a free life of regrets. None of us are perfect. And we don't always do the right thing for ourselves, by ourselves, or for others. So I think that would be the one thing that I changed. Racism and hatred, that would be the one thing that I changed. I mean, there are many things that should be changed about this world. And, you know, those are all things that many people would change about the world. But, you know, I think there should be less emphasis on people, on students' grades. I think there should be better education, affordable housing and healthcare for everybody. I think there should be better treatment for children. I think it should be better treatments for animals. I think there should be more openness towards the ideas that conflict our own. I think we should in this global warming, this crime, war, racism, terrorism, cancer, pollution, poverty, climate change. There are so many things that I think that we should change. Those are all things that many people would change about the world, but I want to try to think about it more clear. You know, because to change things, you have to understand, like, why are there so many problems in our world today? And I think one word would be human greed. I do. And I think human greed caused a lot of racism. So if I could change one thing about the world, I would eliminate the human greed. I think human greed is at the core of most of our world's biggest problems. So I would get rid of human greed, and that would help eliminate a lot of those things that I mentioned that a lot of people would change about this country. This world. Okay. If happiness was the national currency, what kind of work would make you rich? Nursing. No doubt. Nursing. Would definitely make me happy. And I have a lot of things to do for I accomplish that. I mean, nurses play a significant role in hospitals and clinics, also in private practice as well, and they make up the biggest healthcare occupation in the United States. There's a variety of different job duties that nurses do. They can, you know, communicating between the patients and the doctors. They caring for the patients, administering medicine. They're supervising nurses' aides. They're doing a lot of work in regards to in regards to their duties. So yeah, and it makes me happy. So yeah. Accomplish my goal to be an RN. That would make me happy. Currency of RN, baby. Number 7. Are you doing what you believe in, or are you settling for what you are doing? At the moment, I'm doing what I'm settling for to get what I believe in. So I'm settling in this temporary state of different positions to get my ultimate occupation that I believe in and I'm fighting for, to be an RN. And I wouldn't really consider it settling. I just would consider it working towards. So, yeah. All right, I'm going to take a brief break, you guys, and I'll come back with number 8 through 10. Don't go anywhere. All right, you guys, I am back. It is 60 degrees out here. I know plenty of people be like, oh my God, that's not cold. That's not cold. But I'm cold. But again, I'm always cold. Ask anybody. My feet is always cold. Just saying. Now, I did some questions and I left off with, my last question was, are you doing what you believe in or are you settling for what you are doing? And the way I kind of explained my answer, I said that I was settling for my long-term goal. Well, I'm not going to consider that settling because I'm working on my path for my destination of becoming an RN. So I'm doing what I believe in, and the situation I'm in now is working where I'm working or not working or whatever this situation leads me to, a part-time job or whatever, is to get me my long-term goal of RN once I finish school and all that good stuff. So that's my answer. I kind of rumbled a little bit, but I hope you get it. Anyway, number 8 question is, if the average human lifespan was 40 years, how would you live your life differently? If the human lifespan was 40 years, how would she, me, her, Anita, live her life differently? Well, you know, the lifespan is decreasing nowadays. Like, people ain't living it long life. You know, earlier people, they used to live like 90 to 100, but now it's difficult to even live to even stay healthy till you 40 or till you 50 and 60 years old. I think life cannot be counted in years, and it is rather, to me, I think it's counted by how you lived your life and how you make the most of it. I think some of us practice that we can follow, or we just educate ourselves, as education is the biggest weapon. I do believe that. Follow our heart. But I think we should take our head along with us, you know. And this means take calculated risks into extent. Love yourself. That is very, very, very important. Eat to live, live to eat. And some people say eat to live, but don't live to eat. Whatever. Love your parents, and most of all, realize that you're important when they die, how important your parents was. Earn, save, and spend. And remember, karma is a bitch. Revenge may be sweet, but it's fruit or bitter. If I had to live my life, how would I live my life differently? I would live my life to the fullest. I would let everyone know that I love them. I would spend more time with my family. I would take more trips. Because if the lifespan is 40 years, then I'm pretty much getting ready to go. I'm just saying. So that's what I would do. I would just live. I would laugh in that moment. I would enjoy my family and friends. I would travel more. And I would do more for the needy and the homeless and the battered women, like people that need help. I would do more, than what I'm doing now, because that means I only have a short period of time. So, you know, make my time more useful. And I think that's what we as people should be doing now.
So I would definitely be doing that more of what I'm doing and better. All right. Number 9, to what degree have you actually controlled the course of your life has taken? To what degree have you actually controlled the course your life has taken? Oh, the course your life has taken. I think it's about half my choice and just half God and good luck, I think. I mean, I had my life kind of, here it is. You know what I mean? Like, I had some things planned, some things wasn't planned. I wanted to be an RN. That was my plan. It didn't happen the way I wanted it to happen. But, you know, like I said, my point is it took me a different way. You see, as we grow up and we mature, we change. And the things that we may have wanted when we were young, or, you know, we often left behind, and, you know, we just reach for new or different things. We seek different things. It's kind of like we grow into who we really are. Now, of course, it is easy. And I think it's, I'm not going to say easy, but I think it's up to us what we choose, you know, or accept to do. But I think a certain amount of luck is also needed too. And I think you have to have faith and you have to believe. Life is ultimately, I think it will take you where you're supposed to go. And I think if you pay attention, you'll see that. I think when we feel like we're completely in control of our life, I think that we're actually showing our ignorance. Because we have no control over our life. I feel and believe that it's already planned, which can even change based on the realization of our ignorance, of course. But this really is a hard to explain. It's hard for me to explain this because, you know, I can say that I try to take as much control as possible and I leave the rest to fate, to God. I don't mean, let's say academically wise, with me being in school, I study my ass off. And because I was separated into different, you know, streams when I was younger, to where this actually mattered a lot. I don't mean to stereotype, but when I eventually got into a better stream, the people I met in my work study, in my work group, were really good people, were really awesome. But this also meant that I lost time with my friends who were in, you know, those previous streams and things of that nature. And we did end up different today than what we would have happened if I remained in the stream. I think the way we control the course of our lives leads us to like different kinds of people, and ultimately how we end up as, of course, it includes, you know, discussions and your actions with your life as well. I actually thought this question would be really easy to answer, you know, but that's it. My last question. Are you more worried about doing things right or doing the right thing? Are you more worried about doing things right or doing things the right way? See, now this should be an easy question to answer. But, you know, the way that I think, will make my answer what I would say of the choice that I would say subjective and concepts. You know, I'm looking at this question from the mentality that I like to do things very well. But I think until I realize that doing something well can be just as subjective as figuring out what the right thing is to do. So I have to just speak and figure out this answer as I go. You know, okay, so let me start with doing the right thing. I mean, I'm not sure what the right thing is in many cases. I don't. The right thing can be based on my perspective of what would be. You know, there's one thing that is important to note when it comes to me answering this question is that I don't do illegal things or things that will hurt people, like selling drugs or committing violent acts or, you know, stealing. So it's even more difficult for me to say what the right thing is, because my options as it relates to right versus wrong are more about good cop versus goody cop, as opposed to right versus wrong. You know what I mean? You know, a strong argument can be made that it's more important to do the right thing, because if the choice is between two things that aren't bad, then maybe one would be better than another. Then the framework would be created that may facilitate a good result. And even if it doesn't, at least it was the right thing, which should create an acceptable result. You know what I mean? I mean, it should be considered that there are some things where the outcome of being good at something is a negative. For instance, if someone could be a master at kicking people in their nuts, but that doesn't mean that that person should do it. It's just because they're good at it, then there will be a lot of sore nuts. And if a master nut kicker decided to host that craft just because they have that skill, you know, when will somebody look at that way? You know, the answer is doing the right thing, because kicking people low just because you can't is not doing the right thing. So what I'm trying to say is that as subjective as much of the world is, there are things that are just wrong, and you know, we can't buy into the idea that there's any value at all in doing the wrong thing the right way. Obviously, lines can be blurred. You know, there's a middle ground, and that not everything is good versus bad, or bad versus worse, or good versus better. You know, that's just like if someone cheated on their significant other. It's not the right thing, which means there are little value in doing it right. What would be the right way to cheat on your significant other? You know, making sure the sex is good, making sure you don't get caught, telling the truth eventually. You know what I mean? But at the same time, there's an argument that going against your heart isn't the right thing either. I mean, there is always a third argument that not cheating but being upfront about leaving that significant other because you fell in love with someone else, that may not be right either, especially if there are children involved, you know? So in that case, what's more important is trying to figure out the right thing to do, or doing the best you can and trying to make whatever decision made work as best as possible as you can. I mean, there are times where, you know, determining what's right is so subjective that it's better to just do whatever you want to do as well as you can. I answer this question as someone who likes to be good at things. You know, I try to be good at parenting, at being a friend, at my job, housekeeping, you know, as a sister, whatever I'm doing, I like to be good at. And at the same time, that goes back to my point, what I said before, that I am choosing to do the right thing. Well, that is not the question that is being asked. It is relevant because I like to be good at things, so that would lead me towards doing things well as opposed to the right things. I guess I need a new segment, because I'm going to say this. If the question is asking what is more important to me between doing the right thing and doing things well, as opposed to asking what I would rather do, the right thing or the wrong thing, well, then the answer is doing things well. If the question is asking if I had to choose between doing the wrong thing well and doing the right thing, then I would choose doing the right thing. And I know I did a lot of blabbing, but I hope that makes sense. So it would be, I would choose to do the right thing. Like I said, this answer is kind of complicated. It's not just set in stone on what you would say and how you would do things. Those are my 10 questions from here. I did have a question that someone sent me. I'm trying to see if I could pull it up. I need a love to hate, I got it, you guys. It's from Kiddo. It's a... How in the world did watermelon become a black thing? Like, everybody should love watermelon. Is this stereotyping or what? This is definitely stereotyping. This goes way back. I think the origin of where this originated from, I think it would be pretty shocking to a lot of people. Watermelon was a symbol of economic freedom that free blacks sold. Now, there were some whites angry over what they found with this newfound freedom, created this stereotype to turn watermelon to something shameful. And by the way, federal statistics show blacks aren't the most avid consumers of watermelon in the United States. The numbers show that Asian and Hispanic consumers eat the most watermelon per capita. Whites and blacks are in a virtual tie, well behind those groups, just so we know. So it's just a stereotype that they put on black people. Another question. I need a love to hate. I heard your episode on the N-word, but why do we call each other the N-word but get upset when a white person uses the N-word? I've answered this question before, and I'm going to try to take another stab at answering this question again. Especially if you listen to the episode. I think of the N-word like playing with fire. If you don't respect what fire can do, if you've never been burned by it or burned someone else and dealt with the consequences, then you should never pick it up. You should never put your hands in it. You should never try to walk in it. You should never try to run through it. Most people are not adept at this kind of flame throwing. Even if you look at the late Richard Pryor, he was a grandmaster of the N-word, if ever there was one. But eventually he said he would not use it anymore. And, you know, but some comics like Louis C.K., he used it for both shock value and to make a point. And by the way, there are clips on TV-MA that you can see it. Now, let me be clear, though. Many black people get upset at being called the N-word, no matter who say it. So, it's one of those things that I feel that if you don't like it, the outcome of what's going to be. If you don't know what the outcome is going to be, and you don't know, you know, the environment where you're at and what you're trying to, then don't. And my all-time favorite response is, as a black woman, I am tired of explaining why some Black people hate to be called that word. I don't like anyone calling me that word. Black, brown, Hispanic, white, whomever. And in my conversation of day to day, I don't use that word. And when people that know me holds a conversation with me, they don't use that word with me in my presence because they know I think it's very disrespectful and demeaning regardless of what race they're saying. I understand that in the Black culture, they have tried to take a negative word and try to make it into something positive in regards to how they communicate with one another. And some of them are okay with the non-Black and brown people to use that word in conversation with them. But that's for your group. That ain't for my group. I don't want them using it. I don't want my own using it. It's offensive and it's disrespectful. And the fact that we're still having this conversation of why we can use it and others can't is beyond the fact of why would you even want to use it? Why do you even care that Black and brown people use it with each other? Why do you care? If you wholeheartedly understand the root of where that word comes from, and you understand that some Black people and brown people feel differently about who can use this word and who's acceptable and how they feel about it and is demeaning and disrespectful regardless of who uses it, why would you even want to use it? And why is this even still a conversation? Why is it still even a debate? Why is people still asking Black and brown people why they use this word with each other, but nobody else can use it, or they don't want no one else to use it? Why are we still having this conversation? Just respect the fact that Black and brown people have a problem with people using that word, including their own, and they don't want to use it in their circle, in their face, around them, directly or indirectly in their presence. Okay? Thank you. All right, that is it for me. It's been real. It's been real, people. I did talk to the people about the job. It didn't go the way I wanted it to go. But that's okay. But I wanted to talk about violence, putting down the guns and stopping the violence, and actually that's actually going to be what I will be talking about on my podcast on Tell It Tuesday. My Tell It Tuesday will be putting down the guns. But for your time and for your energy, you guys, for coming over and listening to me, She Me Her You Girl, thank you, and I appreciate you on this movie motivational Monday. And I hope you accomplish everything that you need to accomplish today. I hope you went to school and handled your business and on books. I hope you went, made your money, cleaned your house, whatever it is that you needed to do, went to that interview and killed it. Whatever you had to do today and you're moving in a positive direction, I hope you did it, and I hope you succeeded. Again, you can catch me on Google Play, Spotify, Spreaker, Breaker, iTunes. You can email me at AnitaLoveToHateToHate@gmail.com. Again, that's AnitaLoveToHateToHate@gmail.com. You can also go to AnitaLoveToHateToHateWordPress.com. You know, I haven't pushed anything out in about this month, but I will be pushing out some more content and things of that nature. You can give me your opinions, your thoughts, what you want to hear, what you don't want to hear, all that good stuff. You can email it to me. It's okay. I welcome it. I encourage it. To my listener support, Miss Annie Ann, Miss Carly Cal, and C Turk, thank you. I appreciate you. It means a lot to me. Anonymous One, Anonymous 101, Mr. E and your girlfriend, thank you. I appreciate you from the bottom of my heart. Tommy with Gulf Coast Security LLC. If you need security, that is the company to call, you guys. I kid you not. They don't play. They're about their business. So that is my time. Remember to stay true to yourself. Do not let anyone else's thoughts and opinion dictate who and what you think of yourself. Continue to push to be better every day than what you were the day before. When they go low, like the former first lady, we go high. Let your family and friends know that you love them today, because tomorrow is not promised to anyone. Continue to push positivity despite that negative energy that people keep bringing your way. And allow God to be God. Until next time, on Talk to Talk with your girl, Anita Love.